Chapter 20. The Sound of Music Cats. The next few days, all anyone can talk about is the Great Hum Frog Float, which is what they're apparently calling it now. And soon, the story, much like the spell it started with, has gotten completely out of control.
"There's a rumor that a kid is missing," whispers George in the computer lab on Thursday. "They say it's a 10th grader, floated right up into space."
"That's not true," I say.
"Oh, it's totally true," Jai puts in. "I was there, saw the whole thing. See, what happened was..."
He launches into a long, complicated version of the story that is about 90% total lies. I just sigh and poke at the keyboard, working on yet another email to Gran that she won't reply to. I've tried to keep a low profile during these conversations, in case anyone starts to get suspicious about my involvement in the disaster. No one's been charged with the crime. Yet. But I swear I'm getting more and more sideways looks from the maestros. Jai says it's just my imagination, but I'm not so sure. Still, we got the black spell from Rosa, and that was the important thing. She even let Darby and me watch while she recorded Wink's humming spell, and let us set the music cat free outside when she was done. What the spell was for, I have no idea. And I'm not sure I want to know. Dear Gran, nothing new to report, except that I learned how to set a table using magic. No need to add that every dish I'd moved with my spell ended up shattering on the floor without ever actually touching the table, thanks to a ghostly arm knocking them out of the air. To everyone else, it had looked like I'd flubbed yet another lesson, and they just rolled their eyes and said, "Typical Amelia." Even Miss Nurani had just sighed and handed me a C-. How long will you stay mad at me? Are you never going to talk to me again? Biting my lip, I erase the last two lines and hit send, forgetting to add even my usual, "Love, Amelia." By Friday, the Great Hum Frog Float story has died down, as everyone starts talking about musical zombies instead, which seems to be some kind of annual school-wide game played in the woods.
"That's when you'll have to play the spell," Rosa had told Darby and me. "Rebel Clef will be playing during the game, and trust me, over the sound we'll make, nobody will notice."
To hear some of them, you'd think it was the most important day of the year. Kids break off into groups to whisper strategies. The seniors scope out the woods where the game will be played. And on Friday night, the girls' dorm hums with activity late into the night, despite curfew. I can hear girls running back and forth from each other's rooms, shrieking and laughing. Since it's the weekend, and the dorm captains are as much into the pregame excitement as the rest of us, nobody says much about it. But Darby and I are too anxious to even think about the game. Or at least, I'm anxious. I don't think anything could make Darby nervous. But she does sit on her bed for hours, studying the black spell and practicing the fingerings on her oboe. The spell is written for piano, and Darby has spent the last few days painstakingly rearranging it for a flute, oboe, and violin trio instead.
"Strange," she mutters. "The spell is clearly rare and old. I've never heard of it. But it doesn't have the usual markings that tell you what class and type it is."
"Why would it?" I ask. I've been trying to French braid my hair, the way Gran would do it for special occasions, but I keep ending up with a tangled mess. Finally, I just rake my brush through my hair and give up. If I were selling black spells, I wouldn't go around advertising what they were.
"Yeah."
She tugs thoughtfully at her lip, then pulls a pencil from behind her ear to make a small change to the arrangement. "It's weird. It's almost like ever since Darby and I saw the ghost in our room, we've been on the same team. Not really friends. Ever since she found out my secret, she's gone from being moody and withdrawn to outright mean, and even said she'd volunteer to be part of the orchestra that rips out my echo tree. But at least we're allies. We both need to talk to other Amelia, and we need each other to do it." "What will you say to her?" I ask softly. I'm not sure she's going to answer. She's quiet for a long time, staring hard at the sheets of music. But then she says,
"I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. I just want to say something, anything. Goodbye, I guess. tell her about my crappy roommate who took her place. I sigh. Apparently, she already knows all about me. Darby looks up then, her eyes hard. Yeah, funny, isn't it? How she comes back from the grave to haunt you, but not to talk to me. Huh? I've got a pillow in my lap, and I hug it tighter. I mean, it is a total Amelia move, she adds. Revenge was always her thing, but she could have at least said hi to me, or not disappeared when I tried to talk to her. Like you said, she was probably just scared. And where has she been since then? She glares at me like it's my fault other Amelia is avoiding her. But what can I do? I'd be more than happy if the ghost shifted her attention to Darby. She struck 3 more times this week, blowing away my sheet music, moving my flute while I was playing it, even spilling my bowl of tomato soup at lunch. Everyone at the table had laughed so hard that Claudia choked on her bread and had to be given the Heimlich maneuver by Miss Becker. At least that distracted everyone from the fact that the ghost was busy dragging her invisible fingers through the spilled soup, spelling out a message just for me. Watch out. I dashed my hand through the soup before anyone could see, and before other Amelia could complete her threat. But I don't tell Darby about any of that. Even though, besides Jai, she's the only person who would believe me. The more I talk about other Amelia sabotaging me, the angrier Darby gets, and I need her as much on my side as possible. Because what if she decides to team up with other Amelia in getting me expelled? I can't last against both of them. We better get some sleep, Darby says at last, putting away the black spell. She keeps it hidden in a folder under her mattress. Tomorrow's the big day. I nod and slide under the blankets. In the hallway, a girl yells, "You are going down tomorrow, guppies! Get ready to be zombified!" I shiver and don't fall asleep for hours.